This is Divine Mercy Sunday. When in the year 2000, St. Pope John Paul II canonized St. Faustina, he declared that going forward, the second Sunday of the Easter season would be given a particular focus on the divine mercy of Jesus Christ. It's therefore very fitting that in the gospel that is appointed for this Sunday, we are given such a clear expression, both through word and through sign, of our Lord's divine mercy. Do you notice what the Lord instructs Thomas to do after he extends the greeting of peace to the apostles? That theme that comes up again and again in light of the resurrection. To this skeptical apostle, Jesus shows him the wounds of the crucifixion, the nails that had pierced Jesus' flesh. He wants Thomas to experience in a tactile way how Jesus offered his merciful body for the salvation of the world. And then he says, Thomas, don't be faithless, but believe. Of course, at the most fundamental level, what Jesus is saying, Thomas, believe that I have been raised from the dead. But I think on this Sunday, there's another focus that we can emphasize. Trust in my divine mercy. And once Jesus says this word to Thomas, remember Thomas's response, my Lord and my God. By calling Jesus my God, he recognizes that as a Jew, that Jesus is the one who is the fulfillment of everything that God had spoken and done in the Old Testament, that he truly is Adonai, the God of Israel, the God who spoke to Moses, the God who spoke through the prophets. And now here in the earliest creed that the church expresses on the words and that Thomas gives, it is Jesus my God and Jesus who is the Lord. Jesus is the one for whom now Thomas understands is to govern how he's going to live his life. Everything that Jesus taught, everything he did, is now ratified by the resurrection. And now that Thomas is able to see this reality, he's able to say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be the one who will govern my life as I continue to live in this world. There's a beautiful phrase in the letter of James where James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And we see that at play in this interaction between Jesus and Thomas. That the mercy of Jesus brings Thomas into this place where he's able to receive Jesus in a new way. But do you remember the beatitude that's part of this gospel reading? Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's you, that's me, that is us. And I want to think with us now for a few minutes about what it means for us to be blessed, even though we have not seen Jesus in the way that Thomas and the other apostles did. And I want to use a phrase here that is the title of my homily, that we are blessed through the grace of generosity. The grace of generosity. We see it at play in each of our readings for this morning. The grace of generosity overflows. In that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have a snapshot of the earliest Christian community after Pentecost. Remember, before the death and resurrection of Christ, Peter was so confident that he could do everything kind of based on his own will to follow Jesus. But he fails terribly. But now, in light of the resurrection, in light of the coming of the Holy Spirit, St. Luke tells us that the apostles perform signs and wonders because they recognize more and more their complete dependence upon Jesus and the Spirit. And the church is always dependent upon Jesus and the Spirit. And may we discover in a new way, not only the grace of generosity where we trust that Jesus is working through us in ways at times we might not even anticipate or understand, but there's another quality of this generosity that finds expression in the Acts of the Apostles in practical kindness. So St. Luke tells us, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid them at the feet of the apostles. And distribution was made to each as any had need. It struck me over these last days in reading the stories of the resurrection, in reading the teaching of the apostles, that this theme of kindness is fundamental to living the Christian life. Indeed, those who are living, saying, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God, are learning to practice more and more acts of kindness. That is, to consider the other, to consider the other's well-being, and to do that which will enhance and benefit their lives. This is what we see at play here in the Acts of the Apostles. And I just want to extend to all of you in our parish who continue to be involved in the St. Vincent de Paul ministry for the acts of kindness that you are showing in these days by extending the grace and generosity of Jesus through administering hampers to those who are most in need. Practical kindness is joined in our second reading from the Epistle of St. Peter with what I want to call practical theology. And listen to what St. Peter says. By his great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is based on the reality and the truth of the resurrection. Because Jesus has been raised, Peter says we have a practical theology that gives us a hope in the present. Did you notice how in that reading, Peter is very honest about describing the trials of the present? And if you were to read through 1 Peter, you'll see that this theme comes forward again and again, that in the present life we experience tension, we experience trials, we experience difficulties. But Peter says, this is a means by which God can refine us, because our faith is to God more precious than the most precious of golds. And when we come to a deepening understanding of who Jesus is in our lives, I love how Peter puts it at the end of that reading. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you are obtaining the salvation of your souls. So right now, in the particular context we find ourselves with everything that is different because of COVID-19, this is a means by which Jesus wants to say to you and to me on this Divine Mercy Sunday, I want to use the experiences you are going through right now to further bring about the salvation of your soul. And I want you to grow in your love for me, your devotion to me, and to know deep in our hearts what it is to set apart Jesus Christ as Lord. This practical theology, joined with practical kindness, brings us to the third area where we see the grace and generosity of Jesus. For here in today's gospel, we have the Lord instituting one of the seven sacraments, the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, I know in my life that I don't always exercise practical kindness. I don't always have the kind of trust in Jesus that Peter calls us to, so I don't always exercise practical theology. So I need to be able to access the practical sacrament of reconciliation. And it is this sacrament that in a most special way is the means by which Jesus extends his mercy to each one of us. Just as he spoke one on one to Thomas in the sacrament of reconciliation, Jesus wants to speak into each of our hearts. It was a grace for me yesterday afternoon to go to confession. I'd had a particularly challenging day yesterday, and I just knew that I had not embodied in my life the kind of practical kindness and practical theology that Jesus asks of me. And so to be able to go before a priest and to say, I am sorry, Jesus, for my sins, and to be forgiven was the beginning of a kind of restoration for me last evening, to experience once more in my life the mercy and the kindness of Jesus. May I invite you, if you are parishioners here at St. Peter's, please take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation. Father RJ and I would be honored to hear your confessions. Just go online and you can make an appointment with us by finding our email address, and we would be delighted to set that up with you. If you are watching from afar or are part of a different parish, may I encourage you that during this season, this time of divine mercy, to also take the opportunity to go to confession and to receive in a particular way the mercy of Jesus Christ. Yes, on this day, Jesus wants us to experience the grace of generosity as we grow in practical kindness, practical theology, and practical confession. May you discover more and more what it means to say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are my God.